بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول النبي الكريم. كنتين بريم فم فضائل أعمال هذا الشيخ الحديث مولانا محمد الزكريا سبك عن ذهبي رحمة الله عليه. حديث number 30. حضرت أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه reports that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever listens to one ayah of the Quran, there is written for him a double reward. And whoever reads one ayah, it shall be a light for him in the day of Qiyamah. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever listens to one ayah of the Quran, there is written for him a double reward. And whoever reads one ayah, it shall be a light for him on the day of Qiyamah. Listening to the Quran has a great reward. So much so that according to some ulama, listening to the glorious Quran is better than its reading. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, while sitting on the minbar, said to him, read the Quran for me. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, it is not correct for me to recite the Quran to you, because it was revealed to you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it is my heart's wish to listen. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that when he read the Quran, tears started flowing from the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The freed slave Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu was reading the Quran, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood by, listening to him for a long time. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam listened to the reading of the Quran of Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu and admired his reading. Hadith number 31. Hazrat Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the one reading the Quran loudly is like the one who gives charity openly, and the one who reads it silently is like the one who gives charity secretly. Hazrat Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the one reading the Quran loudly is like the one who gives charity openly, and the one who reads it silently is like the one who gives charity secretly. Sometimes it is more rewarding to give charity openly when there is some good reason and the intention is to encourage others to do the same. At other times, giving charity secretly is more rewarding. For instance, when the intention is to avoid pride and show, or to save the poor from disgrace. In the same way, reading the Quran in a loud voice has more reward when the intention is to encourage others. Besides, in this there is reward also for those who listen. At the times it would be better to read silently, so that you don't disturb others or to save yourself from pride and show. Thus reading either way has its own benefits. Sometimes one way is better and sometimes the other. Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, do not read in a loud voice, otherwise one person's voice will get mixed up with another's. Continue reading from Mu'asharat, Islamic social etiquette. We read from etiquette of eating. Number one, while eating, do not mention such things that nauseate or are repugnant to others. People of delicate disposition are affected by such speech. Number two, do not spit or clean the nose near people who are eating. Number three, when there is a need to bring more food to the guests, do not remove the utensil, but bring it in another utensil. Number four, if the food is less and the people present are many, do not eat to satiation. Keep others in mind. Number five, when foods such as sweetmeats, grapes, dates, etc. are served, take one at a time. Taking more displays greed and lack of culture. Number six, if you have completed eating before the others seated with you, continue nibbling here and there to convey the impression that you are still eating. Do not put the others to shame by stopping completely. Number seven. If for some reason you are constrained to leave whilst others are still eating, excuse yourself. Number eight. Cover food stuff which is sent to others. Number nine. Do not initiate an intricate topic while eating. The talk should be light, otherwise the pleasure of the food will be lost. While eating, the greater part of one's attention should be directed to the food. Number 10. Leftovers which you are not able to eat, and crumbs should not be thrown in the bin. Birds and animals eat such food. Put it in a place where they may eat it. Number 11. Dish out as much as you will manage to eat. Sometimes so much is dished out that one cannot finish it, and this food is thrown away, depriving those who are in need. Etiquette related to the guest. Number 1. The guest should immediately notify the host if for some reason he has no intention of eating there. It should not happen that the host prepares food and all goes to waste. This will cause grief to the host. Number 2. The guest should inform the host of his whereabouts so that the host does not have to undergo any inconvenience by waiting for him. Nor does he have to search for him at mealtime. Number 3. The guest should not accept anyone's invitation without the consent of the host. Number 4. The guest should not interfere in the arrangements of the host unless the host himself assigns some task to him. Number 5. The guest should never adopt a demanding attitude or tone. He should place forward his wishes with a humble request. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. We were discussing how we can maximize on our roza. We should try and take the full benefit, otherwise as much as possible. So for that, ulama have written that we should keep roza of the every part of the body. We were talking about the tongue, how Allah had protected the tongue when the child was in the womb of the mother, and now it is up to us to protect it. Alhamdulillah, it was read in the kitab also, and Mufti Muhammad Desai also discussed various aspects of the tongue. I have written many gunas, sins, transgressions which a person causes with his tongue. So a person must be very, very careful. In fact, it comes in the Hadith Sharif that every morning when a person gets up, all the parts of the body, tell the tongue, you please stay straight, the mufum of the Hadith. If you stay straight, then we are saved also. And if you don't stay straight, we have a problem. Like for example, with the tongue, a person spoke bad to another person, swore him, whatever. That person, when he comes, he won't take your tongue and punish the tongue. He'll give you a slap on your head, he'll kick you or something. So the other parts of the body suffer because of the tongue. So therefore, it's very, very important that we protect the tongue. And this is the ideal occasion, the month of Ramadan, that we stay away from even halal speech. And Allah will save us from haram in the rest of the year. This is Allah Ta'ala's system. There are a few things. A person who is regular with his dhikr and he keeps contact with his sheikh, a person who sits in the company of the pious, Quran Sharif Tilawat, etc. All these things wash over onto a person. They rub off onto a person. So though you might not know the details, but these things will become part of your life. So our dhikrullah, tongue is to be used for the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, for the tilawat of Quran Sharif, etc. So the ulama have written many harms and transgressions of the tongue. We will just discuss a few. They have been discussed, but just to make muzakara again, which are very, very common amongst us. One is the common thing of ghibat, which mashallah, Mufti Muhammad Desai explained in detail that how severe and how terrible it is, and also on which occasions it's permissible to make ghibat. That the occasions are also there when it's permissible, and in fact those occasions when it is compulsory to make ghibat of a person. There are those conditions, there are those situations also. But we will just focus more on the haram aspect. That when ghibat is haram to make, how terrible it is. What a great, serious sin it is. And ghibat itself is that you speak bad of a person behind his back, which if he comes to know, he will feel offended. That is ghibat. And you are speaking, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked, that if that what we are saying is right about that person, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in that case it is ghibat. And if it is not right what you told, then even a major, more greater, you have accused him falsely. You have put a wrong accusation against that person. So it's a double guna, and it is so severe. And as our akabir have written, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, that this is that guna which is common amongst all of us. He says even the pious, the learned, the righteous, atheists, everyone. And many times how shaitan bluffs us that we don't even realize we are committing the guna of ghibat. We are saying we're just discussing facts. Okay? But it is ghibat, you're speaking a fact. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, Jazahumullah Khair, said that Allah wanted to keep the honor of a Muslim, so Allah made ghibat haram. That don't speak bad about your Muslim brother. So Allah made it haram. So how much honor Allah has got of his bondsman. That Allah Ta'ala, just like a father, he tells that the one son has done something wrong. But he tells the other sons, you don't speak about it. Because this is also my son. And I don't want him to be disgraced. So you people don't speak bad about it. So Allah Ta'ala said that person who had done wrong. So people will speak about him. That is what we'll discuss. But you don't speak bad about him. Allah made it haram. Don't make ghibat. Don't speak bad about him. So ghibat destroys everything. And it is a terrible guna. It is worse than committing adultery, incest with one's own mother also. And it is worse than taking how much of interest also. Interest, Allah Ta'ala declares war on the person who takes interest, who deals in interest. But with ghibat, it is even worse than that. So all this we have to keep in mind. And this will come into us if we are conscious in the month of Ramadan to stay away from halal speech, which is absolutely necessary, that we have to do. But to cut down our speech as much as possible, then for the rest of the year, and consequently for the rest of our life, Allah Ta'ala will protect us from all haram speech also. So ghibat is a terrible thing, and it causes enmity, which is again worse if somebody tells somebody else that person made ghibat about you. And also we should remember that whoever comes and tells you about somebody else, he may be sure he's going to speak about you to somebody else. If he brought somebody else's stories to you, he's going to take your stories to somebody else. And in ghibat, one aspect also we can think that it has been made haram, is such a wonderful aspect. Is that what commonly we do, anyone is doing wrong, anyone has done wrong, we make ghibat, we talk about it. And the poor person doesn't know about it. Had we gone up to him, and in a proper, suitable way, with keeping his respect in place, everything, and we tell him, he's aware. Now we don't tell him, and we are talking everywhere. So he doesn't know, and he carries on with what he's doing or whatever. And we are getting more into guna, so shaitan puts it this way, that he makes us, the right thing doesn't come out. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, in fact on one occasion, which actually happened, I learned this great lesson from our Shaykh. We were in one country, and somebody had complained about somebody, like we talk about amongst ourselves. So I told, I'll go and tell Hazrat about it, this is something wrong, it must be put right, and that was a person very close to Hazrat. So I went to Hazrat, I just started speaking, and Hazrat said, wait, stop. And Hazrat called him, and told him, now say what you want to say, in front of him. So the thing can be cleared up, because we hear one side of the story, then there is another side of the story, and there is a third side of the story. And the truth is something else, we don't become aware of it. And the whole thing becomes obscure there. And who came and tell you, he will tell you also, but don't take my name. Now how can you sort out a problem? He complains to you about somebody, but he says, my name mustn't come in. So now you can't sort out the problem. So the best is, if somebody comes and complains to you, say just stop, and detain him there. And call the person he's complaining about. And tell him, now speak. Then how much of his talk will get, when he's not there, we'll add so much of extra salt and pepper also. But when he's there, we'll subtract so much. Because now we know we need proof for everything. And this also should remind us of the day of Qiyamah. That there also, all this what we are speaking is being recorded 100%. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيمٌ عَقِيدٌ. The malaika are there and they are recording everything in fine detail. and everything is recorded. So we have to be very, very careful. So these are such gunas, and ghibat and backbiting, it makes it causes animosity, it causes ill feelings, it causes dislike. Who you let, and you find out, oh, like that in front of me is such a good friend of mine. But yeah, he's backbiting about me. So how much of dislike doesn't come in that? And if you gone to the right source, if you could approach him, you approached him. Or you went tell somebody who can approach him. And you're not telling, you're not talking about it to humiliate him, disgrace him, make him low. But you are talking so that he can correct himself. And that is the duty of a Muslim. A Muslim is a mirror of his fellow Muslim brother. So he should see, and he goes and inform him. So, and there are many ways of backbiting also. As Mufti Saab explained also, sometimes we just want to make a discussion. We say we're just discussing, but in there also, the ghibat comes in. So it is a very, very major sin, and which we take very lightly. Also, one aspect, what the ulama have written, that why ghibat, backbiting, is worse than adultery and fornication also. There are many reasons. One is that normally if a person commits adultery for fornication, he will make tawbah, hopefully. He knows it's wrong. But ghibat, we justify it. We start our talk and we say, but. That he's like this, like, but. And now, and we don't get the topic of making tawbah. And just as we have heard in the ahadith, it is worse than committing zina, worse than getting involved in interest also. And a person gets involved in all this. And so it is even worse, and you don't make tawbah of it also. So whole life you're living in that guna, and no tawbah of that guna. So what a bad effect it will have on one's life. So therefore, Allah Ta'ala has been very kind that He has made it haram. Also in the Quran Sharif, backbiting has been likened like eating the flesh of your Muslim brother when he's dead, which has now turned poisonous. So for an animal which is dead, we didn't slaughter it, it died, and we eat its flesh, you're going to be harmed. And Shariat's laws, may Allah give us all proper understanding, what Allah has made haram in our Shariat is all those things which were harmful for us. In the Jewish Shariat, the Torah, many things were made haram, but as a punishment for them. Not because it is basically bad. Swine is made haram, liquor is made haram, all these things which are bad for us, Allah made those things haram for us. So, whatever Allah has made haram is exceptionally bad. So a dead animal, if we're going to eat that, we're going to, and this is a human being, your brother, and his dead flesh, when he's dead, you are eating it. That is what ghibat is. And in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the two women, which is a famous story, when they kept roza and they were on the verge of dying, they were of hunger. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a bowl to them and told them to spew, vomit in it. People were shocked when they vomited, fresh blood and pieces of meat came out. From where did they see? They backbited about somebody. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has also written that roza, those people feel more the roza who get involved in sin more. If you stay away from sin, then roza, you don't feel that hunger and that strain and that also. And this is in fact with all gunas. The more we stay away from gunas, and we should stay away from all gunas, and make tawbah of the gunas, and one, we must make tawbah of the gunas which we know and we don't know. There are so many gunas that we don't know. There are so many gunas we commit, and we thinking we are doing good, but actually we are committing gunas. Like for example, many people in the aeroplane or while checking in or going to the teller in the bank, we feel you need good character, you must make a joke with the lady, you must talk with her, with the air hostess, etc. All that is haram. But we feel it's important that we have to do it, and it's good character. So we are committing a guna and we are expecting reward from Allah Ta'ala, that we are doing something good, so where we'll make tawbah of that guna. And there are many other gunas like that which we don't know. And especially people like us, we don't know our Shariat properly. So many things we are doing, we are thinking I'm doing a very good act and I'm happy with myself. But actually it is a sin. So ghibat is one guna that many of us get involved in very easily. And to listen to ghibat is equally haram also. To make ghibat and to sit there is equally haram. If we, the best is to stop the brother, our iman, may Allah make it so strong. If we can't do that, then we excuse ourselves. We can't do that also, then make some other excuse. It will be permissible that I need to go to the loo, to the toilet or whatever. But don't keep on sitting there. And worse is if, like our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that it's very good you spoke just about that person. I also knew it, but I was frightened to say it. The good you told everyone about it. So now we are adding to it also. And we are signing it also off, that it's right what you said. So, and ghibat, in our actions also there is a lot of ghibat. And various occasions that we speak, so we have to be very, very careful with regard to the tongue. And we have to train it. And Allah has given us this ideal month, that if we can, and we rozas we keep, and we don't speak unnecessary things. What is necessary we speak, but what is unnecessary we avoid. Allah will protect us from all the haram also. So the tongue which is small, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, jismuhu saghir wa ismuhu kabir. It is small, but its sin is very big. And the same way the tongue, jismuhu saghir wa ajruhu kabir. The reward of speaking good things, making tilawat, zikr, giving da'wat, this is a very big thing. That how you use your tongue in the right way, how great rewards we can get. May Allah give us all tawfiq to use our tongue and be careful and realize that this is that the tongue is one thing that will land so many people into the fire of Jahannam. They will be all tahajjud guzar and everything else also. But because of the tongue, it will land us. May Allah save us all, protect us. It can land a person into the fire of Jahannam, which is just too terrible to even think about how severe the fire of Jahannam is. May Allah protect us and make our Ramadan that means by which we acquire this taqwa. And we stay away from all the disobedience of Allah and we become the favorites of Allah Ta'ala.